Well, she's very gracious to join us, and I really appreciate her coming on. She's with us for the hour. Dr. Naomi Wolf. I don't need to really give you her bio. Most folks know who she is. She's a best-selling author, been a top Clinton advisor, but for over a decade, is really, or longer, has been exposing the deep state. DailyClout.io on X at Naomi I.R. Wolf. And we'll reintroduce her coming up in 5 minutes because some students don't carry this first five, but she's ready to come on right now and kind of give us a first look at the topic she wants to get into, because I've got a lot of questions. I've been watching her, playing her clips. I think we're pretty much on the same page, but she's got really a great way of explaining things. What are you most concerned about right now at this obviously incredibly critical juncture in human history?
Yeah, there are two things I'd love to discuss with you and your audience today. One of them is to go over the campaign. Obviously, as a former Democratic political consultant, I'm really worried about a lot of the steps and missteps that the Trump campaign is taking, because I believe that, you know, I'm not partisan, but it's clear that the regime that's in power is wholly owned by our adversaries. So I don't think it's partisan to want the opposition to win. So I do want to talk about, you know, how not to campaign against Vice President Harris, how to win using what I know to be the Democratic playbook from my own experience. And the other thing I want to update your audience about is the fact that the most vaccinated country in the world, which is Singapore, is having a dramatic crash in live births. And this is something we've talked about because my team of 3,250 doctors and scientists know the reasons why. And I just want to tell your audience why and what they can do to, you know, keep our species from being damaged irrevocably, essentially.
And that's so huge. I follow you almost every day. My wife listens. I mean, every time you're live, she's a big fan. So a lot of times I'm at the house and she's got you on the background. And I learn a lot of stuff listening to you, because I kind of get distracted from all the vaccine stuff because so much is happening, even though I've been all over it. And I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't know this was happening, because as time passes, it becomes clear how truly horrible these shots were. And then but people are kind of moving on. I think that's very dangerous.
Yeah, it's tempting, right? We all want to put that horrible time in the rearview mirror and just get on with normal lives, such as our normal life is right now. But it's really important to pay attention to what's happening. We broke the story, well, I actually got deplatformed by the White House when I was warning women in 2021 that the injections had menstrual dysregulation symptoms. And you don't, as I always say, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or even a medical doctor to know that if women are having menstrual symptoms in 2021, there are going to be fertility problems in 2024. And that's what's happening. Live births are crashing, not around the world, Alex, but they're crashing in the first world, essentially, in the West. In Western Europe, there are a million missing babies, babies that weren't born, you know, that would have been born otherwise. And in North America, in Canada, in the United States, birth rates are way down. And so Singapore is kind of the leading indicator of a mechanism that our team of doctors and scientists has established, you know, how these lipid nanoparticles block the ovaries and kill sperm and damage sperm and even damage the ability to reproduce in unborn babies whose moms are vaccinated.
And this is in major studies. This is what's crazy is this is not even debatable, but you'll walk through all that. So first the campaign, what's happening there. We'll get into all the shots. And I saw you also talking about Hotez, as we know, is a spokesperson for the military big pharma complex, saying, oh, let's use NATO. Let's use UN troops in America. I mean, this is really whacked out stuff. So Dr. Naomi Wolf is our guest. We'll go to break, join a bunch of stations, and she's going to launch straight into it. Very gracious to spend time with us today. Also get her best-selling book, The Pfizer Papers by Dr. Naomi Wolf. Find that everywhere. Amazing. A great compliment to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book, The Real Anthony Fauci, but updated. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support. Well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, she's been coming on the show for more than 16, 17 years. Hadn't been on in many years, but I've always respected her as a real liberal, Dr. Naomi Wolf. And she's had amazing credibility and foresight, and has really come out completely against the Democratic Party. The Republicans have been evil for a long time, but the Democratic Party is really a fully owned subsidiary of these big BlackRock corporations and what they're doing. We've got a beachhead with Trump, as imperfect as he is. And she's been a top Democrat Party strategist, top strategist for the Clintons on record. So if you see them as, you know, kind of like the Sith, well, we've got, you know, Darth Vader, I wouldn't say reformed, because the world's moved on, you know, hindsight's 2020, but she's written a very powerful, lengthy report that everybody should read, especially Trump. And I'm going to get this into his hands. How not to run against Vice President Harris. She knows their tricks. She knows their playbooks. And Trump is making, in my view, less mistakes than he made 4 years ago, but he's still making them. Not that I'm a total expert, but she is an expert on this. So she's going to speak to this for the next 25 minutes. Then we're going to do the deep dive on all the stuff that's come out with the COVID shots, the proof that it's causing massive infertility, massive reproductive problems, massive just general problems in women's reproductive systems, and so much more. And they're now trying to bring in a new pandemic with the monkeypox, and they're talking about, you know, declaring a new emergency, and they've done emergency authorization for the bird flu, and then the Democrat operatives on TV are now saying wear your mask, and Harris is wearing them. So they're definitely trying to bring it back. So that's another huge area we'll discuss with her. But follow her on Substack, NaomiWolf.substack.com. You can also find her at Naomi IR Wolf on X and DailyCloud.io. So I'm going to try to shut up and let you roll here with the political angle that's so important. And then we're going to shift gears. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me back. It's such a pleasure. Well, so, you know, people who follow my work know that I am a classical liberal. I still think of myself that way, but I'm also a walk away. I walked away from the Democrats because they're no longer recognizable to me. They're not the party of free speech and of human rights and of equality of opportunity. They are thoroughgoing Marxists, and it's so obvious by now. So I can't support them. And as I mentioned, I'm incredibly concerned that there's been a coup, you know, and I said there had been a coup. You and I first met when I was warning in 2007 that America could become a fascist regime. And you were one of the few people who believed it and was aligned with me then. We were really outliers at that time, but we were both prescient because America has become a fascist regime. Sadly, people didn't listen to us enough. And so now I'm convinced that not only is this regime being run by probably our enemies and the globalists, right, in alliance with each other, probably China and the World Economic Forum in alliance with each other. But specifically, there's been kind of a double coup in the last 2 weeks in which, and I predicted it on July 21st, in which, as we now know, because Nancy Pelosi confirmed it yesterday, President Biden was ousted, railroaded. I said on July 21st that the letter that appeared on Twitter saying that he wasn't going to run for re-election didn't have any of the FEC qualifiers that are legally obligatory. You know, nothing saying I'm the candidate, I wrote this, this is my statement, and that the signature didn't match the auto pen signature. So, and then he vanished, right? You know, COVID. I mean, and you know from history, Alex, that when a king or a queen or a head of state vanishes, and there are rumors that that person is dead or incapacitated, there's always a kind of revelation of the person. They're always trotted out to reassure the masses that the head of state isn't dead or incapacitated. Well, that didn't happen for like 7 or 8 or 9 days. And there was no kind of proof of life. So he appears not to be dead or incapacitated, but he's not answering reporters' questions in real time.
And now we know, just to interrupt quickly, you're so right, he had an emergency in Vegas. I heard that day one with Charlie Kirk was confirmed a week later. They fly him to Delaware, obviously drugged up, or wasn't, something happened. And then when he was finally seen 8 days later, he can barely talk. So something went on during that period, and then now they admit it was a unlawful coup. I mean, even Pelosi says, oh, well, I didn't believe that letter. Why do you think, just to interrupt, because I want your gravitas on this, why is she now admitting this? Why is he in an interview admitting he was removed? What is the point of that?
Well, that's a great question, Alex. And I think, and again, I predicted this in a previous essay. I don't mean to keep saying I predicted it, but knowing the Democrats, it's very easy to read from events what's likely to be happening.
Forecast.
I warned after the assassination attempt on President Trump, which was July 13th, in an essay called Lady McBiden, that it, you know, my suspect number one would be the Biden family. And I predicted that they had pulled, and this is before any evidence, the vast amount of evidence showing that the Secret Service had failed and failed and failed and failed in a criminal, clearly quasi-intentional way. Before any of that came out, I pointed out that we were likely to see that Mrs. Biden had pulled Secret Service away from Trump for her own event at the same time, 52 minutes away in Pennsylvania, as well as Mrs. Harris, Vice President Harris's event, also in Pennsylvania. So I thought many red flags pointed to Mrs. Harris and maybe Hunter, you know, in terms of not the thing about people at that level, Alex, is that they never say, oh, let's let an assassination attempt unfold against President Trump. You'll never have that deniability. I mean, you'll never have that directiveness, right? You'll always have deniability. You'll never have anyone making that request. But it's also the case that at that level, the principals will kind of indicate what kind of outcomes they would welcome without ever kind of saying so in writing or saying so overtly. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I wasn't surprised that Mrs. Biden and Biden vanished quickly thereafter, you know, soon after the assassination attempt that didn't succeed, right? Everybody thought that by now, everyone who was aware of the assassination attempt in advance would have thought that we'd have a different history right now, that the nation would be in mourning and that the God forbid President Trump would no longer be with us and the whole chessboard would be different. Well, you know, God wasn't having that. So now they're scrambling, right? And one of the things I think is causing the chaos at the White House is there's a major crime that has to be covered up. And the crime is likely to be this allowing of the Secret Service to allow, essentially, someone to be murdered. I mean, someone died at that rally, allowing the attempt against Trump. You know, all of that has a paper trail. All of that has communications, right? They thought the Trump team would never be in possession.
Exactly, because he'd be dead. They'd probably stage a false flag against a racial group. I mean, exactly. We're not predicting, we're forecasting because they'd have the same playbook. And then they thought they could cover it up because he'd be back in power. Now they're scrambling with Ronald Rowe, the head of the Secret Service, the interim head. I think the lady before him was obviously a puppet, but he was in charge. He lied to Congress and said he knew nothing and didn't even know who'd done what. Now we know he was in complete control. So they're in full panic mode right now.
Well, exactly. And what you can clearly see is that there are at least two factions, the ones around Harris, who seem in turn to have staged a coup against the Biden family, and now the Pelosi, Schumer, Obama group, who are trying to stage a coup against the Harris team, yes. right? So you've got the scramble for power. What's really scary for us, Alex, is that there's clearly no one running the country, right? There's no one in a chain of command running the United States.
And by the way, even the Washington Post and the New York Times admit they don't know who to go to get orders now. They're even admitting, they're asking publicly who's in charge.
Yeah. Well, that's a little late, New York Times and Washington Post. But yeah, I can tell you it's clear no one in the chain of command is in charge. Our enemies know it. That's why you have all of this instability and saber rattling and dangerous threats of World War III around the world. That's why China's making moves. That's why we're going to, you know, lose the dollar as the reserve currency. Like, there's all this mobilization against us because people see that no one is in charge of the United States of America, right? Meanwhile, people are scrambling to cover up, you know, a very, very serious crime or a set of crimes, right? There are many, many crimes. Let me mention another one, another big crime, right? Because again, they thought they'd have no opposition by now. That's how their planning unfolded. There will be no opposition by now. Well, a huge crime is that the Harris campaign claimed that they were just stepping in and taking over the Biden campaign and taking on all of their money. And they boasted that Vice President Harris raised, I don't recall, $80 million plus in her first.
$85 million.
Okay. Well, that, Alex, that is totally illegal. It is totally illegal. It is very laborious, according to the FEC, which regulates our campaigns, to throw your hat in the ring. You can't just take your hat out of the ring. That's also very laborious. It takes a lot of, you know, legal work, a lot of paperwork. And for sure, and check the FEC website, everyone, I'm not making this up, see it for yourself. For sure, you can't raise money for candidate A and then switch out candidate A with candidate B. You can't do it. It violates every electoral law.
Oh, we see Republicans going to jail all the time because they fly to Hawaii with their wife. 5 years in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just giving. Again, I'm an election expert like you, but I can read the laws. I ran for representative for like 2 weeks, and I saw the laws in Texas, and I pulled out because I couldn't follow them. They were impossible. But as you're saying, this is blatant.
Yeah, no, it's blatant. I mean, anyone, you know, for my book, when I first met you, The End of America, I kind of kicked the tires of democracy, and I looked at what does it take to run for Senate. And the, you know, you and I can't run for Senate. Well, as you discovered, we can't run for dog catcher, right? Because the FEC makes it so laborious, so many hurdles before you can even raise a dollar at a bake sale for your own campaign. That's one of the ways that they restrict, you know, representation to people who are already blessed by the different major political parties. But all of that being said, the fact that the Harris campaign tried to just whack Harris in right where Biden stepped out. Now we know without Biden's consent, right? Well, or while he was unconscious or in the hospital, we don't know. That is, you know, another gigantic crime. It is a series of felonies, and everyone who tried to do it engaged in kind of multiple acts of fraud.
So they're going for broke. Then let me ask you this then. If they're all in disarray and in camps, a civil war kind of in the Democratic leadership over power, how does that extrapolate out to the election? Are they going to get reorganized? What do you expect them to do next? What are the mistakes Trump's making? I know you've written a big article about that.
Yeah, well, so that's a great question, because the machine of the Democratic kind of campaign system, including Act Blue, which is its fundraising arm, is so powerful and so kind of automated and digitized that they can win even if Trump actually wins and even RFK Jr. actually wins, and they can win even if Trump continues to make the mistakes. I'm sorry, if he stops making the mistakes that he's making, they can win even if Vice President Harris or whoever is now going to, you know, be the coup person taking out Vice President Harris, right? Which looks like it's going to be AOC or Michelle Obama, if I'm a betting woman.
By the way, let's speak to that. Exactly. Once you're in this cuckoo land, like the old Soviet Union or Operation Valkyrie with Hitler, who knows who's going to be in? And then once, like the old Roman Empire or a third world country, once they start down this musical chairs thing, okay, wow, you're speak to that then. Wow, because that's key.
Okay, but let me just finish.
No, I'll shut up. Go ahead.
Warning I was going to give. That's okay. No, there's so much to cover. the machine is so effective and so automated that it, what I've been trying to warn the Trump team about in RFK Jr. too, is that basically if they don't get their act together and stay on message, literally the DNC can pop their puppet, whether it's Mrs. Harris, whether it's AOC, whether it's Mrs. Clinton, who I expect to also make a, you know, return appearance of some kind, or, you know, Mrs. Obama, they can just pop them into slots, essentially pop them into events with their canned speeches, with their focus grouped sound bites, and just, you know, run out the clock till election day. And also, the Republicans haven't done almost anything to clean up the election process. Bizarrely, we actually raised tens of thousands of dollars to draft an election integrity bill, and we offered it for free, including free lobbying to anyone who would pass it. Two states tried to pass it, you know, three Republican legislators. That means that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Republican state legislators did not try to pass it, did not try to get rid of the voting machines, did not try to ensure paper ballots, same day voting, voter ID, only citizens voting, no ballot harvesting, all of the simple ways that our easy bill cleans up the voting process. So the point is, you know, literally, there's a channel that the Democrats can use and a playbook that they are using that I know by heart, I can run it in my sleep, that will just populate the surrogates, populate the ads, populate the events, populate the support from the unions and the teachers and the trial lawyers and the environmentalists and the pro-abortion people, you know, until election day. And then they'll cheat by a margin of 5 to 10% with absentee ballots, and that's that. And then Republicans, I promise you, if they don't wake up, Republicans and RFK Jr. supporters are going to wake up the day after Election Day saying, what happened? You know, our guy was doing so well. What, we were sure we had it in the bag. No. So that's why I wrote this essay warning both Trump and RFK Jr. what they need to do in order to outmaneuver that.
Incredible. Now back to that other point that was actually on my list to ask you. I wrote this morning and forgot to get to. Clearly, and Trump's alluded to this from his sources, they could try to replace Kamala. I mean, this is a very fluid thing. Once you're installing people that had zero votes in the primary, again, Ronald McDonald had the same amount of votes, zero, the sky's the limit. So speak to that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, she's a terrible candidate. Everyone knows she's a terrible candidate. That doesn't stop them. No one likes her, but it doesn't stop them. And what people have to understand running against the Democrats is that Democratic voters have kind of gotten into this mindset through the Biden years where they've accepted that they're not going to like or respect the person in charge, or even that the person in charge is demented, but they've accepted it because, as Democratic voters I know say, it's not the man, it's the ideas. So they've kind of accepted this really communist notion that it's the party, right? You know, it doesn't matter if everyone hates Harris, it doesn't matter if Biden has had Parkinson's since 2020.
It's 1984.
Yes, but also that people are reasoning that it's the technocrats around the candidate who are whom they're really voting for, right? That it's the right set of technocrats.
The deep state.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they don't think of it that way. They respectfully, because I still think like a Democrat, I'm still able to do that. And I also love a lot of Democrats.
I understand.
They look at the opposition. They look at, again, respectfully, Trump and even J.D. Vance making mistake after mistake after mistake, and with this kind of tenor of emotional lack of regulation. That's how Democrats process it. And so they're like, they're talking about cat ladies, you know, 40-something plus percent of Americans aren't even married, and, you know, one in five don't have children at all over the age of 50, and, you know, half of American women under 30 don't have kids, and so on. Like, a huge swath of the population gets offended by phrases like that. Whether they should or not isn't the issue. It's just an unnecessary mistake.
And then, well, you definitely were one of their top advisors. So tell us, what would you do if you were Trump right now?
I will tell you, but I will also tell you that for some reason my computer is not charging. So if I lose you, I'll call back on my phone. Okay. Everything's plugged in, but it's, I'm having some sort of technical issue. I wanted to,
we're going to break in a few minutes. We'll figure it out. Keep going.
All right. Keep going. Okay. What I would say, so when the only thing is message discipline, message discipline, message discipline. Conservatives think that it's very fake and inauthentic to be on message, to have your talking points, to have your policy positions locked down and to stick to them. They love it that President Trump goes off script and says outrageous things like Kamala Harris didn't used to be black. Well, or, you know, cat ladies, as I mentioned from J.D. Vance. Well, you can love that personally. But what I'm trying to say to people everywhere wanting the opposition to win, right? The opposition has to win or there will be no more United States of America. And
by you're saying the cat lady stuff will energize Democrat voters.
I'm saying that I know how the media works. And literally, if you are speaking to the Union of Black Journalists and you can talk about all of your incredible policies, which are really strong, which I didn't know till I went and looked at them myself, that Trump delivered for communities of color, for instance, and everyone from 2016 to 2020, and you mention her race in any way, that is going to be the headline. Right? There is no way to talk about it that is not going to be the headline. And so what happens then is NPR and CNN are waiting for Republicans to fall into, to step into that trap, to step on that mine in that minefield. And they do it, Alex, over and over and over. Don't go there. Don't step on that mine. If you can just stay on message, talking about crime, border, economy, unity, crime, border, economy, unity for an hour at that event, then CNN has to cover the substance of what.
And they're also scared of him ending taxes on tips, which Kamala's got on. He needs to push on that, right?
Absolutely. But they keep making mistakes. So Kamala stole it. Duh, that's the playbook. Everything your opponent does that's good, that's playing well, you steal it. I can tell you that's their playbook. But what they keep doing that's a mistake is reacting to that. So Trump is like, she's plagiarizing. She stole my thing. No, stay on message. Ignore that. Stay on message or say something like, our policies are so good that our opponents are, you know, trying to take them on themselves. If she thinks it's such a good policy, why didn't she enact it in the last 4 years when she was helping to run this country and its economy into the ground? Why didn't she do it when she hired 80,000 IRS agents to go over every single thing you might have done wrong in your tax return, right? There's so many substantive ways to stay on message. But instead, these leaders, Trump and Vance, respectfully, keep showing that they can be needled, right? They keep showing that they're reactive. That's not presidential. It's the surrogates who should be sniping.
No, I totally agree. And I'm not even a political operative. I'm just a talk show host that analyzes news. But it's very clear. Don't let them set the agenda when they do an attack. Ignore that and move with the truth and what's successful. Let's come back and finish up with that and then shift gears into where's Fauci? What is he up to? What's the numbers on the death shots? What's happening to women around the world who've taken these injections? It is shocking information. It is all coming up with our Naomi Wolf. Stay with us.
Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, high quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWarsMD at InfoWarsStore.com.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored. That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Please welcome President Ronald Reagan, who has a few questions for you.
All of you will go to the polls. You'll stand there in the polling place and make a decision. I think when you make that decision, it might be well if you would ask yourself, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Is it easier for you to go and buy things in the stores than it was 4 years ago? Is there more or less unemployment in the country than there was 4 years ago? Is America as respected throughout the world as it was? Do you feel that our security is as safe, that we're as strong as we were 4 years ago? If you don't think that this course that we've been on for the last 4 years is what you would like to see us follow for the next four, then I could suggest another choice that you have.
President Trump, he'll make America great again.
84 days left. Dr. Naomi Wolf, former top Democrat Party strategist, joins us, finishing up with her advice to President Trump and where this election's going. I want to shift gears into what's happening with the biomedical attack on the world and the developments there. Doctor, please continue.
Sure. Well, these things are related, you know, because people, when they're figuring out what to do in November, should consider that it was under Biden's regime, the Biden-Harris regime, that our economy was shut down, that we were lied to by a gigantic public health establishment under their command, that there was a massive transfer of wealth from working people and middle-class people to gigantic corporations like Amazon and Microsoft and Google and everyone who profited from the lockdowns and the destruction of mom and pop shops and Main Street, and that they kept us in our homes, you know, against our constitutional right to assemble. They closed down churches and synagogues. They arrested people for, you know, holding prayer services and worship services. They kept your kids out of school for 2 years. I mean, I'm very surprised that none of that is entering the campaign discourse, because all of that is at the feet of the Biden-Harris regime. You know, the Democrats made fun of President Trump when he tried to say rightly at the start of the pandemic, this is a matter for the states. He was exactly right. That's how our system is supposed to work. So among the things they did in lying to us, I'll never forget in 2021 when Biden gave a speech warning that the unvaccinated were facing a winter of severe disease and death, and that we were a threat to our vaccinated loved ones. And I'll never forget the bills I had to pay for the canceled family vacation when my vaccinated loved ones freaked out after hearing this, right? But they did that to us. They ushered in a biomedical fascism, and they created a two-tier society overnight in which kids had to be injected to go to school. They had to be injected to play sports. You had to be injected to go say goodbye to your loved one who was dying in hospice. That's all them. And so now looking at what was in that injection is very important, because unfortunately, much as we want to forget about it, as you and I said at the start of this show, we all want to forget about it. The effects are cascading in. People are dropping dead. There are a million people, according to Ed Dowd, the former BlackRock hedge fund manager, a million Americans a month newly identify as disabled and join the ranks of the disabled. You've got excess deaths at an all-time high in all of the vaccinated, highly vaccinated countries. And these correlate with the vaccines. And our team of these 3,250 War Room Daily Clout Pfizer documents analysts, these doctors and scientists, know exactly why. We know that Pfizer knew within, the 3 months of the data that we have, killed 1,225 people. And in some of the reports, like the stroke report and the liver report, half of the serious adverse events, including deaths, were within 48 hours after the injection. I mean, I could, summarize all of the shocking headlines that our team discovered and that you can find in the book Pfizer Papers right now. But the bottom line is, this was the greatest crime against humanity in recorded history. As the granddaughter of someone who lost 9 brothers and sisters in the Holocaust, I don't say that lightly. On a scale of numbers, it's larger than the Holocaust. And we're not done, because this is a multi-generational crime against humanity. It includes future generations, because these materials affect our DNA. And as I mentioned before, they also are going to affect future generations, because at least baby boys in utero, their reproductive and developmental systems as turning into men, right, when they hit puberty is damaged by the injection. Babies are dying and going to convulsions, having swelling, having fevers from nursing from vaccinated moms. The lipid nanoparticles enter breast milk. The scale of damage to women from menstrual dysregulation is catastrophic. Pfizer had a chart showing tens of thousands of women damaged menstrually. They just took note. 15,000 women never bleeding, 10,000 women bleeding twice a month, women in their 80s bleeding, 10-year-old girls bleeding upon being injected. The damage to women is off the charts. There are other horrible things, turbo cancers. Everyone knows that people are having rapidly escalating cancers, especially of the breast, and lung cancers and horrible tumors, glioblastomas. These are all in the Pfizer documents. And the mechanism now is clear. They're there is a carcinogenic quality to these injections. People are seeing the brain damage in their loved ones. They're seeing their loved ones reacting differently, unable to think in a nuanced way, personality changes. These lipid nanoparticles were engineered and known for 10 years, Alex, to cross every membrane in the human body, including the placenta, but also including the brain, blood-brain barrier. So people are sustaining brain damage from receiving these injections. Neurological disorders are at catastrophic scale. And we saw this in the Pfizer documents. Epilepsies, dementias, Alzheimer's, convulsions, tremors. How many people do you all know out there who have a tremor? We found the mechanism that the lipid nanoparticles kind of degrade the myelin sheath of the nerve endings. They make the nerves not function the way they should. So many people around you now are having hip replacements, knee replacements. They're limping. They're having mobility problems. They're in pain. Well, the number one side effect in the Pfizer documents is joint pain, again, because of the inflammation from these lipid nanoparticles. Pain is inflammation. Arthritis is inflammation. The second most common side effect is myalgia. People just feel bad. That means muscle pain. People just don't feel well. And the third most common side effect, of course, is COVID, because the vaccines didn't work to stop COVID. Pfizer knew this within a month after rollout. In fact, if they had not gotten rid of 8 dead vaccinated people from their math, they would have had to report that illegally, by the way, hiding their bodies, essentially. They would have had to report that vaccinated people die more often and get sick more often than do unvaccinated people, which is exactly what the data now show. So they knew all of this when they rolled out this injection and mandated it on our armed forces, on our teachers, on our doctors and nurses, on our firefighters and police, on our college students, on our school children. And the last thing I'll say about this is, this aligns with what you and I have been talking about for a couple of decades now when we do talk about fascism in America, because why, right? You inject people with this injection, which is made in China. China owns the IP. China wants us gone. They want our food supply, our water supply, our ports, our energy grid. They don't want our population, right? And then coming over the border is also related. 30 million new comers from countries that have no memory or knowledge of constitutional republic and human rights. And so the native born kind of citizen Americans are sick and dying or not able to reproduce. And the ones coming over the border are not being mandated, and they're being ushered in with free food and lodging and room service in New York City and privileged treatment. So as Ed Dowd said, just wait 5 years, that the population of America will be changed even without a war. And that is the war.
Absolutely. And of course, you don't like to speculate, but 35,000 foot view, obviously, this is a large economic, cultural destabilization operation. If you speak to that, that'd be great. But first off, let's talk about Singapore. Total fertility rates hit record low 2023. In all the countries that took the most shots, they're seeing this. And I remember Dr. Michael Yeadon, another top scientist, former vice president of Pfizer, before the shots rolled out, warned this would happen. And we had the FDA document of the possible adverse reactions or probable that listed myocarditis and blood clots and infertility. I mean, they knew. So why would they even put out quiet warnings? Well, why would Pelosi come out and admit they did a coup against Biden? It's like they take the thunder away by admitting it up front. It's a very weird psychology. Can you explain that to me?
I wish I understood it better. I mean, I don't think they told the American people the truth about these injections. I mean, I know they didn't. If they had, no one would have taken them, because A, they don't work, and B, they can kill you or sterilize you. And in fact, our team, and with the emergence of this book, the Pfizer papers, Pfizer's shares have tanked to 2016 levels. They've lost billions in market share, which, you're welcome. I feel very proud of. But we know they didn't, because well, many reasons, but one of the things we found, one of our lawyers FOIA'd communications of the White House, and it turns out that in April and May of 2021, the CDC and the FDA and the White House were being warned that young adults were and minors were sustaining heart damage, myocarditis, as you mentioned, pericarditis. And rather than holding a press conference to tell the American people, they what we have in the FOIA documents is a freakout at the highest levels. And everyone, including Dr. Fauci, Dr. Walensky, who resigned 3 days after we showed that she knew that these injections were sterilizing women, and the head of the FDA, and 15 White House staffers, right, were convening to hold a crisis communications conference to create a script to lie about it and to minimize it. And that's a 17-page document that is 100% redacted. Alex, we still don't know what the script is, but we know what happened in April and May. Instead of saying this can cause myocarditis, pericarditis, don't give it to your child, they said for the whole rest of that year in a gigantic propaganda campaign, this may cause a little transient myocarditis. It's rare, it resolves, but the benefits outweigh the risks. And you've got to go ahead and inject your young adult, your college student. That's what they did. So I don't agree with this injection, they warned people. I do agree that something weird is going on with Nancy Pelosi coming forward and taking responsibility for the coup. And the reason I would speculate is, again, that there's some very, very serious crime that was committed by the White House. My guess is that it has to do with the assassination attempt. And so she's saying, we tried to get rid of these criminals. We tried to do the right thing by the country.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. I feel like the FDA report in October of 2000, warning of everything that would happen, somebody was trying to cover their ass. And this looks like the same thing. I'm not even trying to tie them together other than it looks like cries for help, basically.
Well, or a paper trail.
CYA.
Right, exactly. We had nothing to do with this. I had nothing to do with this. Although, you know what? In a democracy, if someone's a felon, you don't stage a coup. You actually, you know, arrest them or bring charges against them. You go through due process. Like, how far gone are they, Alex, that she thinks that telling the American people that she tried to stage the good coup as opposed to the bad coup is, you know, going to endear her to American voters?
Well, yeah, that's what makes them so dangerous, is it's clearly these factions all pretended like they were in control. But really, like end-stage empires, just created a giant mess.
Well, I mean, again, look back at history. This is what happens when there's a power vacuum in a very corrupt monarchy or, empires. I mean, the end of the Roman Empire, people were stabbing each other and throwing each other to the wolves and killing their own children so that they wouldn't be, you know, overthrown or poisoned by their relatives. Like, that you see this in history again and again, but not in a democracy. We are like, these are the people who were so upset about J6. We're supposed to have a peaceful succession of power. There is a clear process for moving out the demented guy, right? It's Article 25 of the Constitution, and moving on to, you know, now the vice president is president, and now the speaker, I believe, is the vice president. Like, our founders thought about all of this, and they set an orderly, peaceful process in place for all of it. But there's such corrupt chaos at the top where they no longer think they have to, like, stick to the cosmetics of having a democracy.
Exactly. So the veneer of civilization is peeling away. I know you've talked about this because I've seen your show. Here's Biden saying there won't be a peaceful transfer, and then he slips up and says, if he's defeated. And then we've got Raskin talking, who we know is one of their top planners, about how we're going to have civil war conditions if Trump wins. We're going to remove him with this amendment. I want to get your take on this. Here it is.
Are you confident that there will be a peaceful transfer of power in January 2025?
If Trump wins, no, I'm not confident at all.
So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions.
Are you confident that there will be a peaceful transfer of power in January 2025?
If Trump wins, no, I'm not confident at all. I mean, if Trump loses, I'm not confident at all.
So this is super creepy, and they're all over the news, civil war, they're all over the news. Where do you see this going, Dr. Naomi Wolf, and do you think the deep state will try another assassination attempt?
Well, I think, first of all, I'm trying to process that Jamie Raskin clip, which I haven't seen. That is so scary. I mean, he is not demented, and that was a threat. I mean, he's basically saying, we're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let them take power, even if they win. He's saying that. And he's saying they'd rather have civil war than to yield peacefully to a Trump administration if Trump is the clear, obvious victor. That's so frightening. And it's frightening because it is a threat. And remember, at that point, they'll still have the military and the National Guard. And they'll have, they're saying we no longer are committing to abide by the principles of our democracy, which involves a peaceful transfer of power rather than rank bloodshed and no rule of law. They're saying it. That's so scary. And when Biden says it, you know, you can justify it because he is demented. But I also, knowing them, when he makes that mistake, my guess is that it's not a mistake. He's on script. And these are threats. And but, you know, I'm amazed at Trump's, as annoyed as I get at him for not staying on message, he's a courageous man. And when you say, do I think there will be another assassination attempt? I think they haven't stopped trying to assassinate him. His plane landed, an emergency landing. I'm, whatever, 61 years old. I've flown my whole life. Never, ever, ever have I, you know, been in a plane that had an emergency landing. What are the odds? I'm really afraid that he's... I mean, if the Secret Service has basically made it clear that they almost let you be killed, right? And you're dependent on Secret Service protection, which I don't quite understand because he can afford his own Z private security. You know, that's a hostage situation, right? So I'm not at all confident that they're not going to keep trying and keep trying to do away with President Trump. It's a Byzantine situation now, Alex. Like, and let's look at, like, opposition leaders. Steve Bannon is in jail. They tried to take you out economically. They tried to take, they imprisoned Peter Navarro. You know, all of these opposition leaders, they went after the Epoch Times. All of this independent media and opposition leaders are being either lawfared into silence or preoccupation, economically pressed into silence or preoccupation, or physically restrained. I mean, Steve Bannon would keep this ship moving along. And, you know, he's not allowed to speak to the American people until right before the election. How convenient is that? So we're all being targeted. You know, the last of us who are openly challenging this administration. But I guess what I'm trying to say is this is what happens in the death throes of a democracy and the birth of a truly lawless regime. There's no longer a pretense that people aren't being physically and economically targeted, legally targeted. There's not even a cosmetic veneer that they're not trying to go after the opposition, including President Trump. So, I mean, God willing, I'm wrong. I hope he survives and thrives and wins. I hope he and RFK Jr. join forces and they win together. That's what I hope. But, and again, I don't think that's partisan. I'm saying it because otherwise it's not America. These people are not Americans. And they've said so. For Jamie Raskin to say, we're not going to let them have it, it is the end of America. It's the end of America when he says that, right? We've got to recognize what time it is. These people are no longer Americans. They don't want an American system.
Well, in the time we have left, I think you've totally nailed it. We're living in such historic times, and I've read a lot of history. Historians say people don't usually realize it when they're in such a serious time. You've got Ukraine invading Russia. You've got heavy weapons being shipped in. You've got Israel and Iran attacking each other. This clearly is what happened in World War I and World War II, but to the next level. And we're not even talking about the geopolitics of China, you know, doing blockades of Taiwan. I mean, and the borders collapsed, and you've got political infighting and just insane levels of, I think it's just total incompetence, really, at the end of the day. I mean, they've kind of inherited the old power structure that was operating. It had problems, but at least it was competent. And I just think we reached a total incompetence point. And I just wonder if there's any way to get sanity back and try to turn this around.
I mean, at this point, I think it's a battle between good and evil on a metaphysical level. It almost goes beyond human capacities, it seems to me. Like, there's so much kind of divine intervention that's so bizarrely miraculous right now. And also the demons are so demonic. You know, it's like the veils are falling from both good and evil, right? We've talked about this too. So I sort of feel like this is America's testing point, right? I feel personally that God, you know, is kind of has a special place in his heart for America. And it was ordered along quite divine lines as far as human history goes. Like, a real democracy is a highly spiritual condition. And we've blown it. And we're being forced into a kind of testing place or battleground where we have to choose sides. Are we going to stand up for our Constitution, stand up for humanity, the rule of law, decency? And this isn't even a partisan thing. Or are we going to collude with errant, rampant evil, or just stand aside and let it happen? And in which case it's going to be, you know, and the scripture tells us what it's going to be like, right? Really bad. I mean, famine, wars, rumors of wars, catastrophe. Like, I'm reading the Old Testament again, just trying to find out what's going on right now.
And she's saying such incredibly powerful stuff right now, and her Skype just broke up. Reconnect with her. I want her to finish up in 5 more minutes in the next hour. Yeah, this is literally good versus evil. These are people going against their own self-interest. It's the mystery of evil the Bible talks about, Old Testament, New Testament. I mean, this is real wrath of God stuff here. I mean, this is, we're being judged. This is super dangerous. You can see it everywhere. People are flipping out. Her computer might have finally died. She had a problem with her cord. Call her on the phone. So I wanted to finish her point. At the end of the day, this is good versus evil. And this is crazy. And Republicans think it's all fun and Trump's invincible. And Democrats all think they're invincible. It's crazy. And it's dangerous. All right. Hour number 3 coming up. And we'll see if we get Emmy Wolf back on to finish up. If not, I will continue on and cover all the news we haven't hit yet. But what a time to be alive. Now's the time to get on your knees and pray to God, folks. We'll be right back. Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth and is way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that. Right, so they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce, right? So this is why
they've
central
got so
banks
many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster. And there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.